Oh, well, Jeff isn't this. Jeff is my colleague. Could I ask for a 5-minute comfort break? Just.
I don't think that's the comfort break of the presentation. I don't know how to move the presentation. But let me get it in case. Is he ready? He's not ready, but I don't know if he's ready or not. So let's proceed, and then once he's here, we can get him and go with his team.
Of what the acting chair has already done.
it with introductions.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Vitumela Motelesi. As Dr. Manzini has introduced me, I'm chairing the Post Bank Committee at SAPO.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Shoaib Patel. I'm a non-executive director of the board and I chair the Social and Ethics Committee of the board.
Honorable co-chairs and honorable members, my name is Satyak Andan. I chair the Audit and Risk Committee as well as I'm a non-executive member of the board.
Honorable Chair and members, my name is Rhoda Peter and I'm responsible for government and parliamentary liaison.
Good afternoon, my name is Andrew Longova. I'm the GM for Government and International Relations. Thank you.
Good afternoon, my name is Kiavaka Ramanzi. I'm the Business Transformation Officer for Postbank.
Chairperson, honorable members, my name is Christopher Slekano, the CEO of South African Post Office.
Chairperson and honorable members, my name is Khumo Mzozoyana, the CFO for the Post Office.
Okay, we are battling a little bit to connect.
Okay, well, they might be assisting, you know, we've been troubled by presentations throughout our ATT processes. I wonder why Honorable can find it. But nonetheless, Honorable members do have the manual presentation with them. We would go manual, you know, despite the fact that it's telecommunication and postal service communications as well. We'll just go manual because we don't want to really eat on time. Most of us do have our presentation with us. Temporarily, while they still go to fix the presentation on the screen, could we request that we just proceed that way? Our apologies about that.
Chairperson, thanks very much. I would proceed on to slide number 3 of the presentation. First, I think before we talk about the mandate of post offices, probably to give a sense of where we believe the destination of post offices is at. By 2017, we would like to be recognized among the leading providers of postal and related services worldwide. The board, at the beginning of the year 10, together with management, brought forward 6 things which anchor what we're busy with as post office. And the themes are focusing on customer service as a primary, and secondly, looking at the efficiency and sustainability of the business. Thirdly, investing in our people, primarily because it is critical to ensure that the 23,000 odd employees are taken along the strategy we are at as post office. Number 4, focused on corporate governance. Number 5, look at our infrastructure and renewal of our infrastructure. The primary asset of post office lies in our infrastructure, the reach we have, and in the main, what we can deliver through our infrastructure and network. Number 5, it is critical to remain relevant, and to do so, we need to be innovative. Much as the postal sector is challenged in terms of how the changes are in the way we communicate, innovation and new products are core, and then with that bring forth the preference in terms of service provision. The way we are structured on the right little box, we have Postbank, which currently is a division. A corporatization process is underway. There will be comment and update in terms of how far that has taken shape so far. Secondly, the retail component. Retail primarily is what we sell through our network. The stamps, as one of those fundamental products we have, and other related products and services such as motor vehicles and newer services. Main is our core, included in that the level to which we are regulated in the main and mail sector. E-business is one of the sectors which are now our focus, because mail in the main is declining. However, the event of e-solutions is what has now become our centerpiece of where we need to go as business in developing an alternative way of doing as a substitute for the decline in mail. The CFG is our courier freight group, where the brands such as PX, Speed Services Couriers, XPS are. This is our core of the logistics business. And then lastly, the DOCAX. DOCAX is what is used at any ages. It was really what the lawyers used to communicate. But at the moment, there are a number of innovations where we are now being able to use this product in other environments, such as in company registration and such services. Property remains one of the areas which is an asset which we got at the moment, sitting at about 1.5 billion municipal value. We're working on that as one of the areas which we believe will improve the efficiency of delivery, including the sustainability of post office. Slide number 4, translate the things into 7 goals. Customer centricity, innovation and affordability of our services, financial sustainability of our business, maintaining good corporate governance, investing in our people, and more importantly, adopting environmental sustainable approach within the organization, and lastly, ensuring that we've got a secure and efficient integrated infrastructure for service delivery. That comes with all its challenges on the right. Over time, we have seen decline of our revenue through the loss of subsidy. Mail continue to decline. In the mail, letter mail, but because parcel business is growing, but letter mail is the component which is declining. The key of our cost is staff, transport, and property renter. Going forward, the question is how do we look at funding mechanism to ensure that we are able to roll some of the key projects, post-bank corporatization being one of them, including the investment which we should do for our infrastructure. We're doing this with an appreciation that over time we were challenged from a supply chain management point of view, but we do believe that at this point in time we will look at this from a more onerous to a less onerous approach in terms of how we comply. And then finally, our IT infrastructure is core to how we deliver, and the capability in supporting what we will do going forward is what we need to be focusing on and overcome. Slide number 5, just 3 things which I thought it would be important to highlight, that in all what we're busy with, one thing which challenges us a lot is the negative perception in terms of service delivery, primarily because of what has been one of the destabilizing factors, which is the labor instability. But I have also to highlight that the challenges which have been indicated earlier on present also an opportunity to really grow our business in alternative areas. And then the other comment which I thought is worth highlighting is the fact that for us to remain being able to meet the obligation, we have to be sustainable and profitable as an organization going forward. Slide number 6 summarizes our license obligation and requirements. Just to to bring forward what our mandated area and what is the reserve component of our business. This is where the regulation primarily allows us to do business without other players in. It really covers letter mail. It covers less than 1 kilogram parcels. So this is what, in the main, is meant to fund our USO. However, the challenge of that funding and the level to which that will allow us to grow is what we often complement or supplement through the non-regulated products such as the courier freight revenues and post-bank also incidentally that. We have a license which started in August 2001, running for 25 years. And the little table at the bottom speaks to the service requirements in terms of the different delivery requirements depending on where the origination and where the distribution is. What I wanted also to share, Chairperson, on the right, the cost of the branches which are not necessarily profitable. These are the branches which are in the periphery, in the rural areas, where by regulation we're meant to and we're supposed to make sure that we grow and increase access. At the moment, the cost annually is sitting at about 400 million negative. However, this is what we strive to balance that, but this remains the challenge. The rollout of additional points of presence in the marketplace increases as to that number as we continue to endeavor to meet our mandate. The estimated at this point in time of the rollout, if we were to do additional points of presence as we have planned, would come at a cost of about 70 million rand per annum. Slide number 7, Chairperson. The key focus area. In order to meet our strategic objectives, that 6 key focus areas. Our property. We believe that our property is an asset which we can revalue and it can enhance our funding model. Balance sheet restructuring, this is more applicable to the Korea Freight Group, given the financial situation which the CFO will comment a little bit later on. The other focus area is to find funding solutions, particularly because we don't have the level of subsidy we used to have, and yet we need to continue to meet the mandate. So it's critical for us to look at opportunities to way which we're going to fund our expansion plan for our assets, and including that the infrastructure, both IT distribution infrastructure and the courier group and other related infrastructure, including in some areas where we need to renew our buildings to meet the OSH requirements. The other focus area is on capital adequacy, because with the progress we are making in terms of post-bank corporatization, SAPO will become a bank controlling company. That will come with the prerequisite that it needs to have certain capital in place in order for SAPO to be a bank controlling company. What we're busy with is to ensure that the legislative requirements are put in place for the bank controlling company, and obviously with that will come the determination of what capital adequacy will be required, and the necessary processes will follow thereafter. Key to our sustainability is the turnaround plan. We have defined the turnaround plan. What is now the fundamental focus area is the implementation to ensure that wherever there is a gap, we continue to renew and review our implementation progress and ensure that we move with that towards sustainable business. The last one is around post-bank corporatization. There will be a little bit more focus on that, and KB will cover that. The enablers will remain what, in the main, are cost containment, revenue enhancement, IT infrastructure refresh, retail operation. Retail operation, why it's so relevant is because that's where the level of penetration of some of the products I've mentioned earlier on, MVL, motor vehicle licensing, will become part of what will assist us in making sure that we are sustainable. So the number of products which can be done through our retail network is what has become very important. We need to understand our customers. We need to make sure that execution from a project management point of view is core. Over the years, we have not really done performance management throughout the organization. We have now begun that journey to ensure that performance management is at the heart of what we do, and including that talent. We have managed to have low turnover, but it is important that we keep talent, not necessarily focus on only turnover. So those are the key focus areas and enablers. Chairperson, we operating within the environment, which I think is only appropriate to highlight that the economic slowdown is affecting us grossly. Because if you look at parcels, which is it's called what we do, the decline in the economy does impact that environment, and including so our bank, and also the performance of our logistics business. We have to appreciate that the unemployment aspect also has an impact in terms of spending requirements. We also, from the sector which is not regulated, affected by competitive aspects, reliability, price, and price points. We need to be alive more in terms of the digital offerings, which other competitors are at, and how we quickly migrate to offer such as from a competitive point of view. Urbanization is a challenge, but it comes with its own opportunities in terms of what we could do. But our focus in the rural areas is where our service really is key and there aren't alternatives. And that's where we should probably balance the availability of services versus how we are affected by that. To some degree, when we talk about retail and distribution from an e-business point of view, it's now a lot of online shopping is taking place, and that's where the middle class growth becomes a positive for us as post office. As long as we play in that space in terms of being available and being the distribution of choice, that's where our growth is. So that's how our environment really affects how we do business. Slide number 9. I thought it would be important to reiterate that whilst from an NDP point of view, we are challenges post office in terms of profitability, it is important to appreciate that employment is our focus area, and we need to focus on that sustainably so. We also need to improve, add value towards improving quality of education. So our network has got an ability to, within the rural areas, to be part of the multi-channel provision of services. We're currently looking at how we would use such infrastructure with other government agencies, whether it's Telkom, whether it's USASA, in terms of integrating our outlets out there in terms of alternative use for service provision. It is very important for us to be delivering value and be a deliverer arm of government. Hence, it is important to build the capability of state in playing a role in the development of state. And we believe that both Postbank and Post Office in the main have that ability to do so. Postbank in particular, when it comes to financial inclusion, as we get the license and we begin to look at broadening our products, that becomes a very important role we can play.
Slide number 11, Chairperson. The list of our key performance indicators. I will not necessarily go one by one, but I just wanted to highlight some of the key focus areas. Slide number 11, we continue to be strained from a revenue point of view, hence projecting a loss over time, but we do believe that with the turnaround planning phase, there is a recovery process which over time we would see post office towards sustainable position. The other part which I think is also important is the deposit component of Postbank. Because of the positive spin that has to the organization, we believe that it's important to grow our deposit book, and also because those deposits are our customers. So one of our focus areas. On slide number 12, the part which probably is worth highlighting is on the property side. Chairperson, you will note that it might look insignificant in terms of the number of properties which we need to refurbish, but that critical one, because we're doing so to make sure that we meet the basic OSH requirements. But secondly, this is part of how our assets in terms of net worth needs to be maintained. We unfortunately have got the state of our properties is in such a way that it really requires attention. And we're doing our best to maximize what we can do in terms of spend in establishment. Slide number 13, in particular, the number of retail points of presence. Our commitment is to continue to increase the points of presence. The biggest challenge is, with the constraints we have financially, can we sustain that, or how best do we look at alternative way of creating points of presence? What we're busy with now is to deliberate with the customer to come up with an approach which will probably best deliver the same outcome, but not necessarily the same expense in terms of financial requirements. But it's part of the mandate, and we need to continue to make sure that we meet our mandate. The others are around disability, gender equity. One of the areas, if one look at our numbers, we employ about 23,000 people. If you look at the percentage of people with disability, it's an area which we need to improve. In the past, we have really been not performing very well in this area, and this we need to focus more and more to improve in terms of the level of penetration on people with disability. Chairperson, I will probably go to the financial numbers, if allowed, through the CFO at this point, which is starting from slide number 17.
Thank you, Chair. Just to quickly take us through our finances and what we have initially budgeted for the 2015 years and over the next 3 years looking at our NTEF. For the financial year 2015, we initially had budgeted that we will come out at a loss of 248.8, and for the 2016, slightly recover to 201 million, and in the 2017 financial year move closer to a break-even point. And I think the reasons for poor financial performance have already been indicated by the CEO, i.e. our labor instability, how our brand has suffered and brand erosion, and that causes the decline in revenue, And another aspect that we probably do need to highlight is currently how mail volumes are declining, particularly letter mails, which is our regulated space and where we play them on, where we have the monopoly. If we move over to slide 18, we thought it prudent to bring it to the attention of the committee that you know, after assessing and looking at where we end the 2014 financial year, and say to ourselves, if we continue on this trend, the likelihood of not achieving 248 and actually dropping to 593, you know, if we don't aggressively implement our tenure strategy, we will possibly end at $500 million, well, call it $600 million of a loss in 2015, and 584 in 2016, and slightly recover in 2017. This, of course, is if the aggressive implementation of the turnaround strategy does not take effect. If we go to slide 19, here we look at how our state and information position looks. For the 2015 financial year, we say that our total assets will sit at 11.1 billion. The total number of assets for the 2014 financial year is at 10.39 billion. And because we're presenting a group position, it is also important to highlight that sitting in those assets and the liabilities, particularly the liabilities, are the depositors' funds. They reflect in the liability. But what we do on the other hand is to prudently invest those depositor funds so that they are available as and when depositors require their money. At this point, looking at the group position, it is also important to highlight to the committee that we are, at this point, presenting a solvent position. If we move over to slide 20 and look at the cash flows, it is quite evident for the 2015 financial year when you look at our cash and cash equivalents, how they decline. This is a direct impact of the decline in revenues because your revenues dictate how much cash you have. So because our revenues have declined over time, our cash and cash equivalents have also declined. Another indicator is also shown on our total cash movements for the year, where you see a negative of 497. This is an indicator of the amount of cash that has circulated over the period. If we move over to slide 21 and look at what the needs are for the business, and these needs included in there are capital that we will also need to implement some of the turnaround strategy aspects. At project implementation phase for the 2015 financial year, we have 174.5 projects that are already at procurement phase. We have 34.4 million projects in the approval stage. We have 477, and this approval stage projects would vary depending on the government structure that needs to approve. It could be that some of them are at have passed pro-capex and need to go to EXCO. In some instances, they would have passed pro-capex and EXCO, but we need to go to the board because of the values. And in some instances, they would need to go to both pro-capex, EXCO board, and ultimately to the shareholder because it would be a significant transaction as defined. Also included in what we require is for the post-bank compensation, which is 389.5, and this we also need to highlight that it's X what we have received from Treasury for the corporatization. So these are the funds that will have to be taken from Postbank itself as per agreement with Treasury. Thank you. I'll hand over to the CEO.
Chairperson, it became prudent as we're thinking through how we share and summarize our presentation, but it's critical having given the background that the next discussion should be the highlight of the turnaround plan and the turnaround program. Slide number 23 summarizes the three ways which we believe over the next few years will take us through. Wave one really focuses on short-term capabilities, project execution, internal capacity, and business transformation. It does not, however, mean that there are no overlaps between the waves. As one would look at wave number two, which focuses on revenue and cost containment. We have started that already. We have gone through two stages of cost containment and also aggressively looking at revenue generation, where we have gone beyond what normal would have been the way we look at revenue generation as a matter of focus as we speak. Wave two also speaks to business efficiency and reliability. What we have found in the marketplace is that we're losing customers more because of our efficiency in the reliability aspect, not necessarily because much as one would highlight that, one has highlighted earlier on that there was a brand challenge, but Post Office remained a trusted brand because of its history and its association with government and the fact that Post Office is an asset which has been with us for quite a while. So that level of connect exists, but the reliability aspect is critical to consider. And wave three will then focus on unique strategic tactical plans which take us to the next level. That's where we'll look more on innovation, diversification of our business, and making sure that we are more and more becoming more profitable. Slide number 24 takes each of the ways and put a little more detail in each of them. And I'll focus on I won't go through each one of them because slide number five, and Chairperson, if I may go back a little bit, there was an extended detailed slides which were put forward. I'm not so sure if that was circulated, which is slide number 25, which speaks to the split of actions and outcomes. So as when I summarize, I don't over-summarize. Because what we felt was missing coming from slide 23, which was some of the waves, going to slide 24, it's a little bit more detail and the timeline. So we added that. So I just wanted to make sure that is available. So when I explain, it speaks to what I'm speaking to. So when the first bit of work which we really began on was to look at internal governance and delegation of authority and making sure that we have governance processes and internal controls. We then started focusing on internal enablement, our HR structures, project execution, IT enablement, and the procurement and contract management. And then we went into the third aspect of the first wave, which is more the commercial and financial disciplines. The property portfolio, working capital, project inventory. We have acquired an ERP system, which we didn't use in full. We began to start using that for the benefit of efficiency. And of course, begin to look at skills inventory, performance and management, and leadership, and the way we believe we need to go. So when we go, when Chairperson, when we go to page 25, it will then give the what we intend to get as an outcome and a timeline which we have set ourselves going forward. So each of the waves, and if we go to wave number two, cross-fed to slide number 26, we will also have done the action items, the outcomes, and the timelines which are appropriately aligned against each one. I will then, Chairperson, speak to slide number 26, which is now part of slide 2 in detail, and just highlight that with the internal processes, which is our next focus area, we have started that much earlier than what will have been wave 2. because we realize that in order for us to compete well, we need to start that sooner than the perceived wave two as a midterm. We're also putting a lot more emphasis on costs, and equals a lot more emphasis on revenue. We'll probably look at brand revitalization a little later on, once the capabilities and the business efficiency has come to show what we can actually go to our customers and claim to be at. Slide number 27 is what eventually will then give us a stronger competitive edge, which is in wave three, where we look at financial services in the main, beyond what we are, cost bank as a deposit taking, where we look at logistics and expanding logistics beyond just the products we have, whether it's extending our services beyond the books or extending our services to other areas such as medical services and the like. That's where now the third wave will focus on, because that's what will make us different as just mainly the postal agents. Yet we'll continue to be meeting, to be doing what government would expect of us in terms of being a deliverer. Chairperson, I would wish to propose that I hand over to KB just to summarize the progress made when it comes to post bank corporatization. KB?
Where we are in the process of applying for a banking license, which is a journey that we started in 2012 in terms of formalizing the application. We have gone through the process of preparing and submitting the banking license, which is a section 12. It's the first application that you put in. That we did, we achieved on the 25th of September. Now what it does then is that we now have to wait for the Reserve Bank to do an assessment on the application, to look at the viability of the bank as it stands and going forward, and then we will then give us authorization to proceed with a banking license application. Once we get the authorization, we again have to send an application to the register, but this time it's just a letter requesting that we can form a company. When the Reserve Bank agrees, it's the same letter that you now attach to your company registration documents that you submit for the incorporation of the company, because you cannot register any organization with the word bank unless the Reserve Bank has given you that letter. And that will then trigger the incorporation process. Once that process has been completed, we will then have to apply, and this is the last part of the application, where we now apply to be registered as a bank. Typically in that process you are awarded or you are given an allowance of 12 months to comply with all the banking regulations, starting from your systems to your people and the type of products. And now it's during that time that SAPO, as the CEO has indicated, that SAPO will then put its application to become a bank controlling company. Because the way the Reserve Bank works, then it would need to have a site of both entities from regulatory reporting and monitoring. And once we've gone through those stages, it'll then be at the time that we can be registered as a new bank, providing that we have complied with all the requirements of the Reserve Bank. This is a very much interactive process. We submitted on the 25th of September for the Section 12, and we've had numerous engagements with the Reserve Bank with regards to additional information that's needed to either clarify or provide to the Reserve Bank. Now, where we are in the progress, and I just need to start off by highlighting one type of that. There are two outstanding items that has been communicated to us. The first one involves the separation of Postbank and SAPO. This is a deliverable that is managed from DOC side. And I would ask members to disregard the last portions of the of that point number one, because every effort is being put in. We are meeting on a weekly basis to monitor the progress on this deliverable. Now, what sits behind this deliverable is the assurance to the minister that how these companies are separated leaves both companies viable, and none is the worse off because of the separation. And this is a requirement from the Post-Bank Act. And this is being tracked on a weekly basis, as I've mentioned. The second item that sits there is what they call the BA20 forms. The BA020 forms are what you submit for members or persons who will become executive and non-executive directors for a bank. Then the Reserve Bank would look at the fit and proper status of these people, doing certain checks to make sure that they are the right people to be sitting at that level within the bank. Now, we had a challenge at the beginning, because what happened is that the person that we were dealing with at the Reserve Bank resigned midway, and a new person came in. So there were other things that we needed to close the gaps on that were not communicated much earlier on. It then resulted in us having to take back the to do a bit of rework. But as we said, we have met all the requirements that are on point two. And we will now be awaiting the conclusion on point one, and hopefully by then the assessment will be pronounced on whether we can proceed to the section A.
Chairperson, I would then refer the committee to slide number 32, which really summarizes our focus areas. One, our focus is really now in the implementation of the turnaround plan to ensure support sustainability. Secondly, one is the implementation of the turnaround plan, the objective being to take SAPO to a sustainable level. Secondly, is to look at the funding options. Our ability to meet our ESO obligation and deliver of service will be anchored by how we have funding options towards that activity. Thirdly, we have a number of capital projects which we have to take care of. And the ability for us to use other sources of funding, whether it's external, will then become key. But we need to look at it from an asset point of view, property being one of the examples of what we will use as an enabler towards funding. And then number four, we just need to make sure that we continue to do what our mandate says, which is to connect efficiently government to citizens. And then finally, we need to look at new business development and revenue growth. As Post Office, we will not be able to take the business anywhere unless we look at different business opportunities. Of course, government remain one of our interested customers, in the sense that there are a number of products we can deliver through for government within CFG in particular, as an example, but even in the other areas in mail, because there are products which government uses. This does not exclude commercial customers, which we also have at this point in time. Thanks, Jefferson. That summarizes our presentation.
Yes, at the mic, please, switch it off. Thank you very much for the presentation. Honorable members, I'm putting it upon yourselves if you want to interact. The presentation, Honorable Sedi's hand is already up. I'll start with you, Honorable Sedi. yesterday, the other members received a show of hands. Perhaps I feel that it's all the Honorable Shin.
And then I can go and